That night, there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, but the angel reassured them. "Don't be afraid. I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. You will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped in snuggly strips of cloth lying in a manger."
Suddenly, the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased." When the angel had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, "Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about."
Thank you, Marvin and Zara and the other kids who did those readings for us. Good morning and Merry Christmas. I'm Jeff, and great to be together with you this Christmas. This year, I'm making a confession. If you were at Carols for Kids a few weeks ago, you've already heard this, but today I'm going to present you with more evidence, enough evidence to convict me of being an annoying dad. First of all, a couple of dad jokes, seasonal dad jokes for Christmas. What did one snowman say to the other? "Can you smell carrots?" Oh, okay, I thought it was funnier than that. Sorry. See if you can laugh a little more at the next one, because I think it's okay. All right, which colour candle burns longer? A red Christmas candle or a green Christmas candle?
No, they burn shorter.
There you go, neither. They both burn shorter. Thanks, Carol. See, not very funny, just annoying. And I'm also annoying because I like to hide around my house and scare my family. And I have video evidence for you on the screen. Have a look. Oh, and I did not even make that video for today. I made that video for fun, like 2 years ago. I bet you're glad that you don't live in my house and you're sorry for my poor family. Now, usually the scaring is fun for everybody. Eventually, everybody laughs. But at times it's a little bit too scary. Sometimes there are tears and they jump and they're scared because they don't know what's going on. That's the idea of being scared. You're not sure what's going on and you're frightened. And so sometimes I need to then stand up and say, "It's okay. Don't be afraid. It's me. It's Dad." In the Christmas story, there are three times when an angel had to say those words, "Don't be afraid." Now, I've never met an angel as far as I know. In the Bible, sometimes angels are incognito. They just look like normal people and you wouldn't even know that you've met an angel. But other times, like in the Christmas story, they appear with bright shining lights and they look very different. And apparently, they're very scary. In the Christmas story, when the angel appears three different times, people are terrified, people are confused, or people started shaking. And so three times the angel said, "Don't be afraid." Because the angel knew there was nothing to be afraid of. It was coming to bring good news. Now, a few months ago, I had a conversation with a lady about God, about my faith. And she's not a Christian, she doesn't believe in God, but she knew that I did. And so she was asking me some questions. And I told her a bit about what I believe, about God, about who Jesus is, about heaven and life after death. And she goes, "Well, I get that. I get the idea that God is comforting. The idea of God is a comforting thought to people. I understand why people believe in God." And I said, "Well, yeah, it's a comforting idea. Unless you're also accountable to God for the way you live your life." That made us stop and think for a minute. The idea of our accountability to God, that God will hold us to account for the way that we live our life. Now that's a scary thought. That's something to be afraid of, that our decisions, our words could be something that God holds us to account for. And you might think, "Well, I'm not that bad. I'm a pretty good person compared to other people that I know, but we've all done things that we're not proud of. We've all done things that hurt other people, and maybe they still hold that against us. And I can remember when I was young, like, well, not even that young, like maybe even about, you know, 11 years old, one of the scariest things that my mum could say was just wait till your dad gets home. I don't know if you ever heard that when you were growing up, but that was the scariest thing that I could hear. And I can remember, you know, probably being about 11 years old all through my life, but the most recent time was when I was about 11, and I remember I was so scared of my dad getting home that I was shaking and I was crying just with the anticipation and the fear. And that's how we feel about God sometimes. Like, if God turns up, he must be coming because he's angry. He must be coming because of all the things that I've done wrong. And so we're afraid. We shake, we cry, we're terrified because God wants to punish us because we're accountable to him for our lives. So when the angel appears in the Christmas story, it's no wonder that three different times the angel had to say, don't be afraid. In the passage that we just heard on the screen, let me read part of it to you again. Luke chapter 2, that night, the night Jesus was born, there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby guarding their flocks of sheep. And suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them, and they were terrified. But the angel reassured them. Don't be afraid, he said. I bring you good news. And it'll bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And this is how you'll recognize him. He'll be a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth lying in a manger. The angel appeared and terrified the shepherds. Maybe because he was shining with all of the glory of God, but also maybe because they knew what it meant for God to turn up. They knew that they were accountable to God. God arriving in their lives didn't feel like good news. It felt like judgment day. Now God has always been good. God has always been good. But over the years, he's developed this reputation for being mean, for being nasty, for being angry. And we don't have time today to get into all of the ins and outs of the stories throughout the Bible and how people came to that conclusion of how they needed to be afraid of God. But I'm with you. Some of those stories in the Old Testament are really hard to understand. They really do make God seem angry and scary. But from those stories, what's really important for us to know is that when God stepped into someone's life, he usually did it to put an end to bullying and bad behavior. And it always came with a warning way before. And it always came with God's encouragement. Hey, that is not how I want you guys to be living. It always came with so much patience, maybe years and years and years of God being patient and warning and encouraging. But eventually, God would step in and stop bad behavior before it got worse. Now, I don't know if you've ever been bullied before. Maybe at school, maybe by your siblings, maybe this morning already by the other people in your house. I don't know if you've ever been bullied at work before, but it is not nice. It can be anywhere from annoying to painful through to completely traumatic when we're bullied. And what we really need when someone is bullying us, what we need is for someone else to stand up for us. Someone who can stand up and put a stop to the behavior. We need a teacher at school to just stand up and put a stop to it. We need a parent to step in and stand for us. We need a manager, a boss at work. We need a police officer. We might need a judge to stand up and put a stop to the bad behavior before it gets worse. But when you're the bully, you don't want anyone to stand up to you. When you're the one who's bullying someone else, when you're the one who's teasing your siblings, when you're the one who's treating someone badly at school, when you're the one who is bullying someone at work, you don't want someone to stand up to you. You know, you might not even really be aware of how bad you're making the other person feel, or maybe you just don't care, but a bully never wants someone to stop them doing what they're doing. Bullies rarely want to be stopped. But here's the thing with all of us. We're all guilty of bad behavior in some way. None of us are completely innocent or completely perfect. Compared to each other, and especially compared to God, we've all done things or thought things that aren't good. And so we're all accountable to God for the way that we live our lives and the way that we hurt each other. And in the story of the Bible, it goes way back to the very beginning, when the first people, Adam and Eve, chose to do the wrong thing, chose to allow sin and badness and evil into their lives. And since then, we've had to deal with that reality of that stuff existing all around us, and we make those same choices every single day. Every day, we're forced to choose between good and evil, between following God or rejecting Him, between loving or hating. And some days, we get it right. Maybe a lot of the time, you feel like you do pretty well and you get it pretty right, but other days, we get it wrong. And regardless of our own decisions, we all live with the impact, the reality of sin and evil being in the world around us. So sickness and pain and anger and death, they all exist simply because sin is in the whole world. And in the New Testament, we read this summary kind of statement from the Apostle Paul, one of Jesus' first followers. He describes the problem. He says, when Adam and Eve sinned, sin entered the world. And Adam's sin brought death, and so death spread to everyone, for everyone, me too, everyone sinned. There's going to be a drawing on the screen that shows Eve, who is Adam's wife in the account of creation. And in the drawing, she's still holding on to sin in the form of that apple. And she's still entangled by sin in the form of that snake around her feet. And in the very beginning, Eve was the first one who ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and chose to allow evil and sin to enter her life and our world and our lives. And you and I live with that every single day. But also we make the same decision every single day. And in the past year, you've dealt with the bad behavior of other people. And you've dealt with being bullied. And you've dealt with sickness and death. And you're dealing with divisions and arguments in your family. And you may feel weighed down and crushed and entangled by sin. And then there are all the things that you've done yourself. Merry Christmas. It's no wonder that when we think about God appearing, we're terrified. We're scared of Him because we know we're accountable to Him for our lives and what we've done. But remember what the angel said to the shepherds. Don't be afraid. I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. Check out the other side of this drawing that's on the screen. Now, this whole thing was drawn by Sister Grace Remington of the Sisters of Mississippi Abbey. And the drawing is called Virgin Mary and Eve. Now, it's not based on any particular scene from the Bible. These two didn't meet. But it's based on Sister Grace's imagination and her artistic expression to show the devastation and the guilt and the bad news embodied by Eve, the same devastation, the same guilt, the same bad news that we feel in our own lives, and then contrasted by Mary. Mary pregnant with Jesus, the Son of God. And not just contrasting those two, but Mary meeting Eve, consoling and comforting because Mary was carrying the answer to the problem of sin. Mary carried Jesus, the promise of good news, of great joy for all people. That this baby within her was God incarnate here to dwell. God moving into the neighborhood in person. And this drawing, you know, it kind of overemphasizes Eve as a person and it kind of overemphasizes Mary as a person. But I love it as just this artistic expression of the reality of sin and the reality of the hope of Jesus. That Eve is a messenger and she embodies the fear that we feel, afraid of God. And Mary is a messenger carrying the baby who came to remove our fear and remove our sin and remove our shame. Jesus was born in a human body to show us what God is really like, to show us we don't need to be afraid of him. No matter who you are, no matter what you've done, no matter how life has turned out for you, no matter how near or how far you feel from God, Jesus shows us that you don't need to be afraid of God, because God wants to forgive you. God wants to accept you. God wants to walk closely with you through your entire life. So if God had a bad reputation, Jesus came to renew it. And he would say things like, you know, you've heard it said that you should pay people back for what they've done to you. But I say, forgive each other just as God has forgiven you. Jesus came with compassion and with care. He came with grace and with truth. He came with love and with justice. And he, like his father forever before him, dealt with bullies and put a stop to wrong. And so one day in the temple in Jerusalem, there was all these scammers who were stopping people from coming to worship God. And Jesus went in there and he turned over their tables and he drove them out so that everyone could come to worship God. And one day in front of this group of people, he accepted a man who was deformed and disabled, an outcast. And he accepted this man in and he healed him and he made his body well again. Then another day out on the street, Jesus came across a man who had this contagious disease. And no one else wanted to go near him. Everyone else had their masks on and they were all staying away. But Jesus went right up to the man and he reached out and he touched him. And he healed him and he made him well. And one of Jesus' closest friends, years after Jesus had died and risen again, John wrote this about him. He said, God showed how much he loved us by sending his one and only son into the world. That's Jesus, so that we might have eternal life through him. Now, this is real love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. Jesus was born to show us real love, to sacrifice himself on a cross, to take away our sin, to give us eternal life through him. And he promised when he ascended to heaven that one day he'd be back. One day he'd be back to finally take away all of the effects of sin, to finally deal with all of the bullies and all of the baddies and all of the injustice and all of the sin and all of the death and all of the fear in everyone, everywhere in the whole world, that he would be back to do that. But he came first as a vulnerable baby boy, to invite us to come for our forgiveness. He'll come again to sort it all out, but he came first to invite us to come to him for our forgiveness, for our wholeness, and to join him in bringing his good news to the world. So it's no wonder. No wonder that the shepherds were terrified and the angels said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people, whether you're an annoying dad, whether you have been bullied, even if you're a bully yourself. It's good news for all people that Jesus invites us all to come to him, to accept him as the Son of God for our forgiveness and for our wholeness now and forever. So this year we celebrate. This year we celebrate good news of great joy for all people, that we don't need to be afraid of God. He invites us to come to him with his open arms of forgiveness and acceptance, no matter who we are or what we've done. Let me pray for you this morning and then we're going to sing together again. Jesus, we thank you so much that you were willing to come, to place yourself in the vulnerable body of a baby, to invite us to come to you. And this is real love, not that we loved you first, but that you loved us and you were willing to do that. And so, Jesus, we thank you so much for that, and we celebrate you this Christmas. We celebrate that we don't need to be afraid anymore. We don't need to be afraid of God. We don't need to be afraid of anything else. We just need to come to you and accept the forgiveness and the wholeness that you offer. And so we thank you and we celebrate in your name. Amen. Thanks, Pat. Let's sing.